This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Arrests on the way. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka. It is Monday, October 30th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
At least one report says the first defendants could be taken into custody today as part of the probe by Special Counsel Robert Mueller into the 2016 election meddling.
Also from Washington, how our elected representatives play by different rules when it comes to sexual harassment and misconduct.
Puerto Rico has canceled a massive contract with a small company in Montana for restoring electricity after Hurricane Maria. Here are the reasons why.
And the simple hack that few people use that can help save significant bucks at the big box stores.
Home Depot and Staples, they have probably the best one on the market, which is 110% price match. So they will match the price of their competitor, plus they'll take an additional 10% discount. In most cases, right, you show the competitor's ad. It could be from the newspaper. It could be something on your phone. But you say, hey, Lowe's has this for this price. I want you to give me the better price.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on the little effort that can save you big money. She's here in about 20 minutes. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the first defendants in a criminal investigation of Russia's meddling in the 2016 presidential campaign could be taken into custody as soon as today. It's not clear who the targets are or what they might be charged with. Friday, prosecutors, led by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, obtained a grand jury indictment against at least one person. The charges would be the first from an investigation that Mr. Mueller took over in May. With his appointment by the Justice Department as a special counsel, that followed President Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey. Senator Susan Collins of Maine was on CBS's Face the Nation.
I have not yet seen any definitive evidence of collusion. I've seen lots of evidence that the Russians were very active in trying to influence the elections.
You'll recall Mr. Comey had earlier said the agency was investigating whether members of Mr. Trump's campaign collaborated with Russia to influence the election, and his firing spurred immediate calls to appoint a new person to oversee that investigation. President Trump's plan for rewriting the tax laws is facing growing opposition from lobbyists and others. House Republicans are preparing to introduce a measure on Wednesday that could eliminate some of the most popular tax breaks to help pay for lower taxes. Among those lining up against the proposal, the National Association of Home Builders, which does not like a change that could affect the use of home mortgage deductions. Missouri Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill was on NBC's Meet the Press.
It's really hard for somebody like me to negotiate on this tax bill when we don't know what it is. It's hard for me to take seriously that they want Democrats to participate when they won't show us the bill.
Other concerns? Possible changes to individual retirement savings and state and local tax payments. Mr. Trump and Republicans have promised to enact tax reform this year, but the plan to deliver up to $6 trillion in tax cuts for businesses and individuals faces challenges even from rank-and-file House Republicans. The governor of Puerto Rico has announced he's canceling a $300 million reconstruction contract with a little-known Montana energy firm. Governor Ricardo Rossello announced the end of the agreement with Whitefish Energy 2 days after FEMA said it had questions about the deal's prices and how they were negotiated and how the contract was procured. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Whitefish, which was hired to rebuild the down power grid, said it had about 350 workers on the ground in Puerto Rico, as well as 2,500 tons of heavy equipment for rebuilding electricity lines. But more than a month after Hurricane Maria destroyed much of the island's electrical grid, service has been restored to less than a third of customers. The contract included terms that prevented government agencies from seeing certain profit and cost elements and provided compensation for linemen that critics on the island said was in excess of typical rates. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Twitter quietly ramped up a campaign last year to permanently delete some user data from its social media platform and the files of commercial firms using it, raising concerns that the policy would help Russian cyber spies suspected of meddling in the 2016 election cover their tracks. Exclusive story from Josh Meyer, senior investigative reporter at Politico. Josh, what happened?
You know, they didn't say get rid of this data because of the campaign. Basically, what they were doing is issuing what they say are some, routine updates. And these were not sort of highly, you know, publicized. They were contained in the developer blogs that probably just a few hundred people read.
Wow. Okay.
Updating their policy. But what some of the people that have commercial arrangements with Twitter are saying and complaining about is that it very quietly doubled down on their policy, enforcing and requiring everybody to delete any information once the original creator of the content deletes it, whether that's tweets or accounts in general. And that, what they were concerned about, the researchers, was that was undermining their ability in real time to figure out who was behind all of this bot activity on Twitter and other, sort of nefarious shenanigans that was going on in the election, and also to see if Russia was behind it.
Mm.
They also say that, you know, by enforcing this privacy policy, which requires the deletion, that, that it undermines law enforcement and intel agencies' abilities to really get to the bottom of it after the fact.
So is the timing suspect here, according to some?
According to some, it is. I mean, and again, Twitter pushes back on this and says that this is really just another one of many rolling updates that they have. But, you know, there was one person I quoted in the story who was at Oxford University, is one of the closest watchers of Twitter, and says that they had been warning Twitter for years about suspicious activity during elections by Russia in Ukraine and other countries, and that once it started looking like it was happening in the United States, that Twitter had been clearly warned about it. So if anything, the timing is coincidental. If it's anything more nefarious than that, hopefully investigators will find that out. But according to some of these cyber researchers, the timing of it is noteworthy because it did happen after some of this activity had been flagged publicly.
Right.
So that, you know, their argument is that Twitter should have known about it and maybe taken steps not to delete this information if they had any reason to believe that there was something going on that was worth sharing with authorities.
Mm. We're speaking with Josh Meyer, senior investigative reporter at Politico. His piece is called Twitter Urged Firms to Delete Data During 2016 Campaign. I can't believe I'm going to ask this, but I'm doing it anyway. Anybody insinuating that Russia might have pressured Twitter to do this?
Oh, no. I would never. I would never get that impression at all. I mean, I think Russia was operating, sub rosa, below the radar. I think that they've, gotten very good at doing that in elections, in Eurasia and elsewhere. And so they don't really need, the approval or even any kind of cooperation from social media companies. They're just very good at doing it themselves. You know, they've created these troll farms, which push out, thousands and thousands of pieces of content, either organic content or paid content. And whether there was any help in the United States, witting or unwitting, is another big question. But, a lot of this is stuff that they can just do on their own by creating narratives, from Russia, whether it's pro-Trump narratives or, as we saw in the election, very many anti-Hillary ones, hashtags like Killary or, about her, the alleged, child trafficking ring that they ginned up.
Mm.
A lot of it was just retweeting Trump tweets and getting narratives started that way as well.
Wow. What does this mean for the Washington investigation?
Well, I think that there's a lot of different angles of this. What did the Trump campaign do? Whether any of the business ties were there, Russian, real estate deals and so forth. But I think that the social media element of this is really, we're just at the beginning of it, the tip of the iceberg, as it were, in the sense of, how were these platforms manipulated?
Thanks, Josh. Josh Meyer, senior investigative reporter at Politico. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to President Trump is expressing renewed frustration over the investigations into alleged ties between his campaign associates and Russian government officials. saying on Twitter that the facts are pouring out about links between Russia and Hillary Clinton. In one of five morning tweets yesterday, he urged the GOP to do something. Trump's tweets followed a CNN report late Friday that a federal grand jury in Washington has approved the first charges in a criminal investigation into Russian ties led by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. President Trump's national security brain trust is set to testify on the need for a new war authorization as the deadly ambush in Niger spurs a push among lawmakers to update the legal parameters for combat operations overseas. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will appeal before the Foreign Relations Committee in an open hearing today. They told the panel behind closed doors 3 months ago that a 2001 law gave the military ample authority. When the winning run finally came sliding across home plate on Alex Bregman's single, more than five unforgettable hours after the first pitch, a frantic Carlos Correa sprinted toward his Houston Astros teammates in the middle of the diamond. Correa, Jose Altuve, and the Astros kept hammering away in a wild slugfest, rallying against Clayton Kershaw and rocking the Dodgers 13-12 in 10 innings. Joe Buck had the final out call on Fox.
Two on, two out. 10th inning. That's in the air to left. Here comes Fisher. Throw by Ethier. Astros win it in 10.
The Astros now lead that series 3-2. Two women from Hawaii who were adrift on their sailboat for months say they once got within 726 nautical miles of Hawaii but couldn't get their storm-damaged boat home. A U.S. Navy ship picked up the two last week after they were found by a fishing boat and brought them today to a U.S. base in southern Japan. George Clooney's Suburbicon notched one of the most dismal wide release debuts in recent years on a sluggish pre-Halloween weekend where the horror sequel Jigsaw topped all releases despite an underperforming debut. The eighth saw film landed at number one with $16.3 million in ticket sales. Tyler Perry's Boo to a Madea Halloween was second with $10 million.
Would paltry be a good word to describe
that? Would.
And
you know what? Weekend? There's just too many things going on this weekend. Between Halloween parties for kids, which yes. I saw kids dressed up everywhere, and the great sports. Who's going to the movies?
Very good. Very good sports weekend. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Many stores offer price match guarantees, and when they don't, there are other sneaky ways to save. Katie Hill at moneyish.com has tips on how to avoid being priced out this holiday season. Katie, what did you look at?
So I looked at stores with a price match guarantee, which means they'll either match the price of their competitor's store, in some cases they'll best it. Like they'll give you the same price their competitor has, plus they'll take like an additional discount. So this to me is pretty simple to use, right? And it helps you get the best prices, but very few people used it. So I thought, I'm just going to remind people again, holidays coming here. Who's got, you know, price match guarantees? Who's are the best? And what's going on there?
So to get a price match, you can do things like swipe a physical coupon, right, from maybe a Sunday insert. Or you can bring it up on your phone and say, hey, look, here's what so-and-so is selling it for. Will you sell it for the same?
That's right. So, for instance, Home Depot and Staples, they have probably the best one on the market, which is 110% price match. So they will match the price of their competitor, plus they'll take an additional 10% discount. In most cases, right, you show the competitor's ad. It could be from the newspaper. It could be something on your phone. But you say, hey, Lowe's has this for this price, and you can use this at the register usually. I want you to give me the better price. And they will. That's part of their fine print. Those are the two best, Home Depot and Staples. There may be a few more with 110%, but that's rare. But then, I mean, a lot of the stores you're going to be shopping at the holiday season, Target, Toys R Us, Lowe's, Best Buy, Kohl's, Walmart, eBay, these are all places that have price match guarantees for their competitors. So you go in a store to buy something. I mean, the way to go, you shop at these stores now, they're going to guarantee the prices from their competitors, so you might as well be looking on your phone while you're looking at that item to make sure that they have the best price.
Very good. What about the rules for these things?
Yeah, of course, there are quite a few, right? Usually, they're only going to match from their competitors, so if it's something totally random, you know, small boutique thing, might not match that. They often don't match third-party sellers on Amazon, although many of them now do match prices from Amazon itself, so you got to think about that. And then on huge sales like Black Friday, nobody's matching prices usually. None of these big stores honor the Black Friday sales.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, those are the exclusions. They're pretty clear right on their website what these exclusions are. And so you can still work around that if you got some time.
Mm. We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. Her piece is called "This Simple But Little Used Hack Can Help You Save Big at Places Like Target, Best Buy, and Other Big Box Stores." What about this app you mentioned here? Is it Parabus?
Oh, I love this. This has saved me personally a ton of money. You sign up with your email, and then you get the receipts from whatever you buy sent to that email address. It automatically scans your email, and then if it sees a price drop on an item that you've bought, it'll refund you the difference. So I've used it. I bought a bunch of stuff from Overstock recently, and they sent me the refund. That's kind of really easy to use. You don't even have to think about it.
Thanks, Katie. It's Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. She is based in New York. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Monday, October 30th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. First charges could be announced today by special counsel Robert Mueller on his Russia meddling investigation. Actor Kevin Spacey accused of sexual harassment. Actress Rose McGowan told the New York Times that Harvey Weinstein offered her $1 million to stay quiet about sexual harassment. New survey finds stress among teachers is growing. Astros, a win away from the World Series. And the man using humor to keep his wife in good spirits as she battles cancer. That story in about 20 minutes. Consider this before your college daughter takes that internship on Capitol Hill. Congress makes its own rules about the handling of sexual complaints against members and staff, passing laws exempting it from practices that apply to other employers. Washington Post reporter Michelle Lee says on top of that, and perhaps because of that, victims are unlikely to come forward. Michelle, what did you find?
Well, we found that Congress really passed laws making exemptions to protect, really the institution. The laws that apply to Congress are not the same laws that apply to most of the rest of the federal government or much of the private sector. For example, people who file sexual harassment claims have to go through this mandatory mediation process with the perpetrator or their representative before they're able to even pay or move forward in court or bring a lawsuit. And the settlements that are paid out in these cases are paid from taxpayer money, not out of the members' allowances. Now, if these settlements happened in the rest of the federal government, it would come out of the federal agency's budget, not taxpayer money.
All right, so as you write, quote, "The result is a culture in which some lawmakers suspect harassment is rampant."
Yes, many lawmakers that I spoke with said that they believe it happens, and it happens quite frequently, but a lot of them is based on anecdotes. So there are movements being made now, mainly Representative Jackie Speier from California, trying to conduct a survey to figure out whether this is an actually and factually rampant problem, and to make sexual harassment training mandatory for all employees of Congress. Currently, the law makes it so that these training opportunities are available, resources are available for employees, but it's not mandatory, it's not required for employees to get trained on what their rights are or what to do when they experience sexual harassment. And a lot of former and current staff members that we spoke with said that even though they had experienced something uncomfortable that they thought they could report, they didn't know how to do it or who to talk to.
Jeez. And this law from 1995,
says basically what? If you accuse a member of Congress of something like this, you got to go through counseling first or mediation?
Yes. So before 1995, there were no worker protections on congressional employees. It was only after this major sexual harassment scandal involving Senator Robert Packwood at the time that brought attention to this lack of protection for congressional employees. So Congress passed a law, the Congressional Accountability Act, that was designed to fix it, but we still see that problems exist. And you're required to go through counseling about a 30-day period, and then after that you have to go through about 30 days of mediation with the perpetrator or the perpetrator's representative in order to try to resolve it before it could end up in court.
Wow. We're speaking with Washington Post reporter Michelle Lee about her maddening piece entitled How Congress Plays by Different Rules on Sexual Harassment and Misconduct. All right, so you opened the story with this 19-year-old intern from back in 2003 who came forward. It's Ms. Whitehouse. Explain her story.
Yes. So she was one of the thousands of women who tweeted through the Me Too campaign after the Weinstein sexual harassment, the women who had experienced sexual harassment by, you know, Harvey Weinstein came forward. And we started noticing that there were some women who were talking about their experiences on Capitol Hill. So I reached out to Ms. Whitehouse, who actually now lives overseas, and she was in Washington, D.C. for a short period interning, and she had experienced this unwanted sexual advance. She says she went into an elevator in the Russell Senate office building, and there was a Republican senator who was also in the elevator, and he groped her until the doors reopened. Jeez. And she was 19 at the time. This was 2003, and the senator is no longer in the Senate, but she didn't know what to do. She told me that she did nothing because she just didn't know what she was supposed to do, and she from that experience thought, maybe this is just the way Washington works. Maybe this is the way that politics works. And she went on to pursue a career in political consultancy. And, you know, she says now that looking back, had she known what to do, had she gotten training, she might have felt more comfortable doing something about it.
Any indication that any of these rules or practices may be changing because of what has happened as of late?
Well, we spoke with Senator Chuck Grassley, who sponsored the original 1995 Act. And he said that if it's not protecting sexual harassment victims or creating anti-harassment training in the way that the law was intended to, then it should be revisited.
Thanks, Michelle. It's Washington Post reporter Michelle Lee. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username @GordonDeal. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, this story falls squarely in the You Had One Job department. It's bad enough when your team loses a heartbreaking World Series Game 5. It's another when the station carrying the game adds salt to the wound. That was the case on LA's Fox affiliate KTTV, which, after 5+ hours of emotional whiplash for area residents, teased its local news with a shot of elated Dodgers fans, captioned with the words "Dodgers win"
Yippee!
At the bottom.
All right, Dodgers
we win.
Woo!
That obviously didn't happen.
Oops.
And it sent folks scrambling to the internet to wonder how such an insult to injury kind of mistake could have been made. And while that might seem like an easy thing to proofread before airing, you can start to sympathize a little when you take into account the countless lead changes over 5 hours and 17 minutes, over 400 pitches, and an incredibly dramatic ending.
You can sympathize a little,
sympathize.
Is that?
As someone who is, you know, has done production for various shows before, I can sympathize. You know, they might have even had two different ones
Mike,
made, I'm guessing, probably,
Mike,
and just ran the wrong one or something. You
Mike,
know.
This is an LA TV station.
Okay, sure.
This is not like some non-baseball market 2,000 miles away.
Right. And they
which
did,
may have been facing a deadline, you know, to get the news out.
They also did just air the game on their own station.
Okay. So sympathize a little.
I was trying to help out a little bit for the poor production folks who were up late, you know, trying to put this together.
Yeah. Well, what happens is in sports, there's a winner and there's a loser. So to get that wrong, you know, is really kind of difficult, in my opinion.
All right, sure. No sympathy for Mr. Deal this morning.
Sympathize a little. Nonsense.
And, Gordon, if one day you had accidentally locked yourself in a beer cooler overnight, what would you do? Well, you might do what one Wisconsin man did recently— help yourself to some beverages. Unfortunately, the store and police weren't so understanding. Police say a man named Jeremy Van Ert told officers he was shopping at the Quick Trip store in Marshfield and then ended up trapped in the store's cooler when employees locked it for the night at 11:50 p.m. A customer told employees around 6 a.m. the next day that there appeared to be a man locked in the cooler and that he left the store in a hurry when employees opened the door. The manager said the man had an 18-ounce bottle of beer and three cans of malt beverage while locked in the cooler and had knocked over a stack of boxes, destroying three more cans of beer. The man was cited for retail theft for not paying for the beverages when he left the store. He was later arrested on a probation hold from an unrelated case. Police say the conditions of Van Ert's probation banned him from consuming alcohol. So that was probably the big issue there.
Right.
That, and of course, just, you know, running, probably knew that, which is why he ran out of the store and didn't pay for the beers. Just a bad night for Mr. Van Ert altogether.
His probation banned him from consuming alcohol, which means there was another alcohol-related incident in his past.
Probably shouldn't have been in the cooler in the first place to even get locked in there.
How do you pull that off? I'm guessing that there may have been alcohol involved as he entered the store.
Yeah, and then
just speculation.
And then he spent the entire night in there, freezing his butt off, probably,
and drank.
Yeah, and drinking.
That's different level right there.
don't even want to think about where he might have gone to the bathroom in that.
Correct. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Cintas. More than 1 million businesses trust Cintas to help them open their doors with confidence. Learn how they can get your business ready at Cintas.com. Cintas, ready for the workday. Believe it or not, Halloween 2017 is important for small business owners. Leanne Hoagland-Smith, writing in the Chicago Tribune, says, first, Halloween in comparison to other holidays is very affordable. Your small business solution should also be affordable when compared to your competition. Second, people are not scared of the global economy as in years past. Consumer confidence is at its highest in 10 years per the Consumer Confidence Board. Also, unemployment claims are the lowest in 44 years, and with employers holding on to workers, finding good help may get harder. Third item, future interest rates. The Federal Reserve may raise its funds rate to 1.5% in December, so borrowing is going to become more expensive. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the investigation into Russian meddling in the presidential election will enter a new phase as early as today when the first charges resulting from the probe could be unsealed and a target taken into custody. A federal grand jury approved the indictment on Friday and a federal judge ordered it sealed. Trey Gowdy, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, told Vox this probe needs to continue.
I would encourage my Republican friends, give the guy a chance to do his job. The result will be known by the facts, by what he uncovers. The personalities involved are much less important to me than the underlying facts. So I would say give the guy a chance to do his job.
Robert Mueller, a former FBI director, has been looking into possible links between Trump aides and foreign governments, as well as potential money laundering, tax evasion, and other financial crimes. Actor Kevin Spacey says he is beyond horrified by allegations that he made sexual advances on a teen boy decades ago. The two-time Oscar winner posted on Twitter that he doesn't remember the encounter, but if he did behave as described, Spacey owes him the sincerest apology for what would have been a deeply inappropriate drunken behavior. In an interview with BuzzFeed, actor Anthony Rapp said Spacey befriended him while they both performed on Broadway shows. Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys should soon find out if the running back will be eligible to play the rest of the season. Elliott has another hearing today to decide whether he'll serve a 6-game suspension as a result of a year-long NFL investigation that found he had multiple physical confrontations in 2016 with his girlfriend at the time. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell suspended Elliott in August for 6 games, a ban that has been fought ever since in court. Jeff Bezos has dethroned Microsoft founder Bill Gates as the world's richest person, at least on paper. The founder and CEO of Amazon saw his already enormous wealth soar even more on Friday as shares of the e-commerce giant jumped more than $128 or 13%. That not only tacked an additional $60 billion to the company's market cap, it also pushed Bezos' net worth to $93 billion, $3 billion more than Gates.
Gates, what a loser. Only has like 90 billion. For shame.
I know, right?
Oh, I remember when I bought 200 shares of Amazon and held on to it for 20 years. Oh, wait, no, that wasn't me.
6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When Bob Carey's wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, he did something unusual. He took a bunch of photos of himself wearing just a pink tutu. Story from the Journal News in Westchester County, New York. There he was, this big, burly, hairy man. It was a little escapism, Mr. Carey acknowledges, but the photographs had a purpose. They made his wife, Linda, and her fellow cancer patients laugh during treatments. In the 14 years since he began shooting his tutu photos, Bob and his tutu have evolved into a global phenomenon, and they've traveled to places like the Grand Canyon, Statue of Liberty, even overseas to Medellin, Colombia, and Munich, Germany. The Careys have published a book of photographs called Ballerina and four tutu calendars. With the net proceeds, the couple created the Tutu Project, which is a breast cancer nonprofit. Through the foundation, the Tutu Project funds like-minded organizations, and they help distribute the funds, but the couple prefers to be hands-on whenever possible. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.